here. Fellowship, sweet up, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, everyone. It's Wednesday. It's June 13th, 2012. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to tune us in on one of our four frequencies. Maybe you're listening on the internet or listening to the archive programs page. Welcome to the Ministry of Great News Radio, where we educate, edify, and evangelize all who tune in. And when I say we, it's us and a number of hosts, but it's really through God's Spirit that hopefully the good news message of Jesus is communicated clearly. It's rooted into your heart and mind that God loves you, has a plan and purpose for your life, and that primary purpose is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, the one true representative of God, the one that can meet our very needs and can equip us to have that relationship with God because of the act He has done on our behalf, His shed blood. And we have the privilege to follow Him, for us to be disciples of Him, and to be His ambassadors. What a privilege we all have today. So I hope that something that's said through Pastor Jason as we talk a little about Jude today will encourage you, will challenge you to grow, that will get you in God's Word. I don't want you just tuning into the radio ministry and feeling like we're your primary source of feeding. We want you involved and engaged in the church body each and every Sunday. We want you to individually get into God's Word daily and then pray up how God would work in and through you. So, Jason, before I have you launch into Jude, and I know you're biting at the bit because you have so much to say and you can't wait to share, and part of your gifting is teaching and sharing and dividing God's Word. But I made a discovery this morning. I'm reading the chronological Bible, as you know, and I'm in a portion of Daniel. And Daniel's interesting because it's like in between the time of Jeremiah, Nahum, the prophets around during that time. Isaiah is somewhere in those years. Then you have 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And this portion of Daniel is right in the midst with the fall of Jerusalem. And it's kind of an interesting period in the life of Israel. But as I'm reading in Daniel, this is in the, chapter 2, and these are like six verses, chapter 2, verse 17 through 23. And we all know the story. We always say Nebuchadnezzar, but it's like Nebuchadnezzar or something. Do you know the difference in how people pronounce it?
No, it's always been Nebuchadnezzar to me.
Yeah, well, the actual spelling is kind of interesting. I was looking at that carefully. You know, it's N-E-B-U-C-H-A, and then there's the D. D-N-E-Z-Z-A-R. So like Nebuchadnezzar. But we always say how do we say it? Nebuchadnezzar. Anyways, that D is either
the
solid.
The clock is ticking.
Okay. Well, we all know that story. This king has the dream. Then he tells all of his magicians and astrologists and wise men to, hey, not only do I want you to interpret the dream, I want you to tell me what the dream even was. Mm-hmm. And everyone's crying out, oh, how can we do that? Nobody's ever been asked to do that. You know, only the gods can do that, and gods don't live among men, and there's no way we can tell you what the dream is. If you can't tell me, you're all going to die. I mean, so, you know, everyone's panicking. Well, Daniel catches wind of this. He tells a steward of the king or somebody in charge, hey, tell the king, give me a little more time. I'm going to pray about it, and I'll reveal what your dream was. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an incredible point. Well, anyways, I'll begin with verse 17. But we all know that basically the dream is then revealed to Daniel. He goes back. But the point of interest that I had this morning is how he not only replies what the dream was all about, but who he gives credit for. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an application for all of us in this. So here's my little devotional reading today. Then Daniel returned to the house and explained the matter to his friends, and we all know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this ministry so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel, so I'm pointing that out, was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be the name of the God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. And I thought that's interesting that he's kind of crediting, you have made known to us, probably him and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And why I point this out, and what I think is interesting about this, here the mystery was revealed to Daniel, and yet it seems that he's given credit to his friends because they were a part of the praying, the seeking after God.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if God only, it seems like God only, in the earlier verse, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. So it seems like Daniel got it, not his three friends, but yet he says, you have made known to us the dream of the king. And I just thought, how interesting. Maybe thank you, God, for Daniel giving credit to his friends for participating in that prayer, where the prayer was answered through Daniel getting this mystery revealed. And I thought, maybe for all of us, you know, when we start thinking it's about us, or we get the credit or get honored or recognized, we have to share the wealth, and maybe Daniel was doing that. Hey, yes, maybe it was revealed to me, but it was because of those people's prayers.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was just kind of a little nugget as I always pray, Lord or Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind. Help me find a point of application. My point of application is, hey, when I've shared a request and maybe gotten an answer, there are other people that have been involved and have answered that prayer. And we've seen that with this radio ministry. This ministry isn't about just a few select people or our radio board. It's those prayer warriors that's for so many years that have undergirded our campaigns and financially supported us and the volunteers. And it's just, it's a team effort. And so I just learned through this. Thank you, Daniel, that you're recognizing probably that your friends were involved. So anyways, that was just kind of a little neat reading as I'm recounting a story that I've read dozens and dozens of times. So,
yeah, well, now let's take, you know, the way rabbis say scripture is like a diamond. As we hold it and we look at it in different ways, it refracts light differently. Now let's take that same thing that you just said and let's just turn a little bit, because while you caught on to that, there was something else that I grabbed a hold of out of that too. And it's not even just, if we read the Old Testament as a whole, and all the characters in the Old Testament, do you ever notice that there's a very powerful reverence for God? We see Nehemiah says, I prayed to the God of heaven and earth. We see here that Daniel says, and I prayed to the God of heaven. Over and over again, we see the prophets say that. We see different points within the biblical text, people exhorting God's name and claiming his sovereignty. And you know what? I think that ultimately in our reading of Jude and what we've been doing, it all comes down to our view of God. Who do we say God is? Because if we don't start with the right view of God, well, then it all changes. You know, it all comes from that. I mean, you know, is God for you sovereign or is he small? You know, is God in all things or just some things? Is God here all the time or is he only here sometimes? You know, is God everywhere or is he just somewhere? You know, it all comes down to your view of God. Is God big and is he in every single nook and cranny of everything? Or is God, have you made him so small that he's so hard for you to see, he's so hard for you to find, he's so hard for you to know, he's so hard for you. And the God of the universe, who is huge, is right there knocking at your door going, I am right here. I think about Revelation chapter 3, where it says that Jesus is at the door of the church in Laodicea and he's knocking at the door, which tells me that Jesus is outside the church. Now, application-wise, we can look at this a couple different ways. Number one, church, a gathered communal thing. Church, also personal. There's a bunch of different ways when the Bible uses church. There's multi-levels that we want to interpret that at. But when Jesus is outside the door knocking at the church, one of the metaphors we could say here is Jesus might be knocking at my door. And you know what that means? That means he's outside of relationship with me. And so it ultimately comes down to our view of God. And Jude discusses that here in Jude for this week. I mean, Jude says, dear friends, though I was very eager to write you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Now, I love, this is one of the key passages they say in Jude, but I love this. Number one, he says, dear friends. Some translations say beloved. It's a point of letting you know the deep affection that Jude has for the people that he writes for. the people that he's writing to. And this is, remember, it's a universal writing. It's going to the universal church. It's not to a certain church. So we know this letter was meant to be shared amongst churches, not just at that time, but by God, by the Spirit of God for all time that this word is being shared for us. And it says, I was very eager. And this word eager is emphatic. It means like he was like, he got his pen, he got his paper, and he's like, I just want to write a letter to these guys and talk about what God's doing in my life. You know, the common salvation that we share. This thing, Jesus, I just wanted to write a letter about Jesus. And then he says, but I felt. and I love that it says that he felt. Because if we look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, Paul's out on his one of his missionary journeys and says that Paul wanted to go to Asia Minor to begin to preach the gospel. You know what? We have our very human intentions. We have the very human things that we want to do, and they're good things. Paul wants to preach the gospel to everywhere that he can. You know, but and by the way, Asia Minor would have been a good place to go because there was a lot of people there. And we know now from like the spice trade routes and things like that, it would have been a great point of being able to catch a few people for the gospel, and then it would have traveled this trade route. Christianity would have exploded even more. They say that if Paul probably would have gone to these places, Christianity would have boomed across Asia and it would have touched even more people. But it says that as Paul wants to go in to preach in Asia Minor, that the Holy Spirit keeps him from going there. And then in Acts 16:7, Paul tries to go to Mysia and Bithynia, and again, now it's the Spirit of Jesus that keeps him. Now, I don't want to derail anybody's view of the Trinity, because when it says the Spirit of Jesus, most of the scholars agree that because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is three in one, this three in oneness, that this is a more emphatic leading. This is an even stronger leading. When the Spirit of Jesus is used, it's an even stronger sense of guiding and leading that Paul is getting. I mean, this is coming right from the right hand of God. And says, don't go there. And then out of that, in Acts 16:9, Paul gets this vision, a revelation of this man from Macedonia, who says, you know, come and help me, help me. And Paul goes there, and then he meets Lydia, meets a jailer, and boom, the church at Philippi begins to be planted in their homes, and it starts to grow. And it becomes one of the churches that Paul has the greatest joy for in the New Testament. But what's interesting is Paul is open to hearing the Holy Spirit. He's not just following his own human intentions, but he's following a divine leading, a divine guiding. You know what? It's interesting if we go back to Revelation again, because I was reading Revelation, so I can have my own little thing this morning, too.
And I'm smiling here because you got in your Acts again.
I know. Well, Acts is all about the church, and I got to be all about the church, so I want to look at that. But in Revelation chapter 3, John's writing to the church in Philadelphia by revelation of Jesus. He's in this cave in Patmos. Jesus is speaking to him, and he's taking it down. If you go to Revelation 3, it's all red letters. Jesus is talking. And it says here in Revelation 3 and verse 8, it says, see, I know your deeds. You have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Now listen to what he says. I know you have little strength. Now remember, he's talking to a universal church too. Jesus is talking to a church here, but he's talking to the church. And other places in the Bible we can find the same thing. We have little strength. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the end of every single one of these churches in Revelation, Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He says, listen, you want to reconcile these things that I'm talking to you about as a church? Listen for the Spirit. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know what? It wasn't even, you're right, it wasn't Paul's words or his preaching. It was his life, because here, Paul wanted to go to Asia Minor. He wanted to go to Bithynia. He wanted to go to Mysia. And the Spirit, a demonstration of the Spirit's power in Paul's life, was that he didn't go somewhere that would have ultimately provided good things. I mean, the gospel would have spread even farther. Paul didn't do something that would have ultimately probably looked really great on paper, because the Spirit, he was open to the invitation, leading, and guiding of the Spirit of God, because he realized he had little power in his own might, in his own hand. But by the Spirit of God, he could do immeasurably more than he could know or imagine. And that's the same thing that Jude is saying here. Jude say, I want to write this other letter. But you know what? The Spirit of God led me to do something else. And it's a powerful moment because we have to look at that. And I mean, you know, Jude wants to write about how great it is to be a Christian. I mean, he wants to write to him and wants to write this great letter about, man, the salvation we share. And but in the end, he does what the Spirit leads him to do. And I wonder if each one of us today, and maybe for the next couple days, might take our cell phones or our watches and set them to the hour, you know, maybe like so that they go off every hour. And we might stop and rest for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, where is it that you want to lead and guide me to in this hour? What is it that you want to keep me from doing? You know, because in the beginning of Jude, it says that each one of you have been called and kept and are loved by God. So I wonder if it would be a great practice to stop every hour and ask the Holy Spirit, where would you guide me in this hour? How would you keep me from going into places that ultimately look good but might not be good? Because I lack the foresight to be able to see what's going to happen in this. And those of us in our little strength would have a great demonstration of the power of the Spirit in our lives.
I know some people will start the day with that practice, Lord, I want to walk in cadence with your Spirit's mm-hmm. leading. But how oftentimes, you know, then we get busy, we get consumed by our interests, our you know, workload, our schedule, whatever, and we kind of leave God out. I know that's happened to me where I get home after the end of a day and I'm like, God, when did I include you in some of the decisions? Or did I pray up before I met with that person? Did I ask you to give me words or insights or wisdom or whatever? And I feel like it's been a wasted day, though yeah. maybe things were accomplished. And how oftentimes, and I like that idea. I used to do that with scripture memory. I used to have my little watch. Every hour it would ring, and then I'd pull out my Navigator scripture memory packet and look at it. And so maybe, as you're suggesting, maybe somehow set that watch or just be intentional every hour, whether it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, to pause, to reflect, to ask the Spirit to reignite, to make those divine appointments come naturally or just allow you to see opportunities where you can press kingdom influence, power, and authority into that realm.
Yeah, and maybe even it's that you take that moment in that time of prayer. Maybe you have a Shadrach, a Meshach, and an Abednego in your life, and you pull them close. Maybe we can tie up what Mark did in the beginning. They said had no connection to what we are going to talk about in Jude. but the Bible's always connected. Yeah. We have to realize that. And you would bring those people around, and you'd pray with those people. Maybe, hey, you know what, let me grab a couple of my closest friends. You know, maybe you got some friends in the office who are Christians or some people that you work with who you know you can grab for just a few minutes of prayer, and you grab them at that 12 o'clock hour and you say, hey, I just want to pray how God's going to use us for the rest of this day. You know, I've met a lot of people who pray, God, put someone in my way today who needs your Spirit. And most of the time they come back with a story mm-hmm. because God does that. He answers that prayer. God doesn't hear that and go like, oh, no, that's not vital. That's not viable. That's not. No, because God is big and sovereign and over all things. He's the God of heaven and earth. And you know what I love that Paul does? And this is another part because we talked about prayer. We grab those people and we pray at maybe at that hour for the power of the Spirit. But you know where else we encounter that power of the Spirit is one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Acts 20:27. And Paul says for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. That's the NIV. I like the ESV too. The ESV says, for I have not shrinked back from proclaiming to you the will of God. You know what? There are many things in the Bible that I don't like. There are many things in the Bible that are uncomfortable. There are many things in the Bible that make life harder to do ministry in because I have to follow the authority of what God's Word says. I would love to just love everybody without any kind of hindrance. I would love to be able to not have to, I told somebody the other day, I said, I could get up and preach watered-down gummy bear messages all day long. I could do that. I could get up there, and I've got a whole closet full of wonderful sermon illustrations. I could get up there and just, you know, we could be like silly putty on display. I could do that. But you know what? I can't, because Paul here says, I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole will of God. And there are probably were many things in the Bible that Paul was going, man, this is really tough. And it's even tougher to live it out. And it's tougher to walk with people who are struggling maybe in this sin that the Bible's talking about that I have to address. And yet Paul goes, I did not shrink back from doing that. And I think about the Bereans and Mark had mentioned this prior to, and I used it on Sunday morning when I was preaching, but it was a passage I was reminded of, and just reminded of how important it was. In Acts 17:11, it says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." You know, when Paul came to town, he was like the rock star. He'd walk into town and people would be like, "Paul's here, what have you got for me?" It even says they were eager to receive the message that Paul brought. So, which is that same emphatic, like, "Yeah, what have you got? What have you brought? What have you done?" And the minute they get it, they don't go like, "Oh, this is the next greatest thing. Let's put it on a coffee cup and a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. You know, let's do it." No, they said, "You know what, Paul? We love you, but we'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to go read this and make sure it's kosher. We're going to go look at it and actually study it. We're going to do what the Bible says, which is test everything, keep the good, and throw the bad out." And I think that I think if I scan the evangelical landscape, I think we've lost the practice of the noble Bereans, who would take something and they would study it and they would wrestle with it before they decided to put it on a flag and raise it above their church or their home or whatever else it is. And we have got to do that. So number one today, if I have any takeaways for y'all, it is that we would stop and we would listen for the Spirit. And maybe we would do that with our Shadrach, our Meshach, and our Abednegoes of our lives. But we would stop so that we, in our powerlessness, could have the power of the Spirit to lead us and guide us. And other than that, we would be in our Bibles, looking at the whole will of God. And we would be testing what it is that we read outside of the Bible into how it matches with the will of God. Because the Word of God is called the will of God. And I think that every single one of us want the will of God within our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I'd also agree, tying it back to Jude, we need to set aside our plans and preferences.
Yes.
Like Jude did. He wanted to write something, but the Spirit told him to write something else. So let's start our day asking the Lord Jesus to allow us to walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading, to be attentive to divine appointments and situations where we can bring healing or hope or point people towards God the Father who loves them. And then let's gather with other believers and pray that up, pray that for each other. I'm going to pray that for you today. Jason mm-hmm. and I will pray that for you today. And just then look and be willing to be that vessel that God will pour through. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.